You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 26th of August 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. I just want to begin today by continuing really with the topic that we were talking about yesterday. Rule Britannia and Land of Hope and Glory, the lyrics from them being banned at the last night of the proms. Well, at the end of yesterday, Land of Hope and Glory was at number one in the Amazon charts, number one in the iTunes charts, and hopefully it will make it to number one in the top 40 as the British public show the BBC what they think of them by supporting those two beautiful patriotic songs that are not racist in any way, they're just patriotic. We also heard from Boris Johnson yesterday, and I was very pleased to hear from him and to see that he was back on form anyway with what he said yesterday, because he has seemed particularly weak and ineffectual after coming down with coronavirus. I must admit, I was starting to get a little bit worried that he'd lost his verve. I mean, I'm not a big supporter of Boris Johnson. I don't think that he's pro-white in any way, but I do think he's a much better Prime Minister than Theresa May or David Cameron. And at least you can rely on him to come out with some sensible things every so often. And he did come out with something sensible yesterday when he was talking to reporters. He said they, and by they we guess he means his political advisers, are trying to restrain me from saying this, but if it is correct, which I can't really believe that it is, that the BBC is saying that they will not sing the words of Land of Hope and Glory or Rule Britannia, as they traditionally do at the end of the last night of the proms, I think it's time we stopped our cringing embarrassment about our history, about our traditions, and about our culture, and we stopped this general bout of self-recrimination and wetness, Johnson proclaimed. I wanted to get that off my chest, he added. And I have to say I agree with all of that, and I think that will have endeared himself to the British population. That's more like the Boris Johnson that we know and enjoy hearing from, rather than the Boris Johnson with a mask over his face when he doesn't even need to wear one because he's immune to coronavirus now. Another point I wanted to make yesterday, where this black professor was attacking British history and the Indian lady that we heard from who was saying it's not her history, she doesn't feel British when she hears this. Well, we shouldn't be surprised at that, should we? Let's just look at the word itself. What is the word history? What does it tell us? It tells us his story. It's talking about a particular person's story. It's talking about a man's story. In particular, if you're looking at British history, it's talking about the history of the British man himself. It's not talking about the history of the country. It's talking about what has happened and the viewpoint of told from the viewpoint of the British people. And that's not going to be the viewpoint of the Indian people. That's not going to be the viewpoint of the African people. It's going to be the story of the British people. And at that African professor, that black professor, who I guess has British citizenship, his family can only have been in Britain for less than 50 years. So his story, his history is only 50, his history in Britain is only 50 years long. He has no right to be telling us that we should be changing our patriotic songs because he doesn't agree with that history, it's irrelevant to him. It's none of his business what our history is or what we celebrate from 50 years past. His opinion on the last 50 years of history is legitimate, but his opinion on any history before that is just totally irrelevant. It's none of his business. It's not his story. It's our story. It's the indigenous British people's story. His story comes from Africa. Whatever he can find out about Africa, that's his story. And again, this shows us the problems with diversity. Diversity doesn't work because you've got two opposing points of view there. You will have opposing points of view for as many different races that you have. So you've basically just got opposition there. You've just got people that have opposing points of view, opposing cultures, that want different things out of life. Diversity can never be a strength. All it can ever be is a recipe for strife. And we don't have to look very far to see this. And just look at what's happening in America at the moment, when we have yet another black criminal that's been shot by the police while resisting arrest. The guy was actually having a fight with the police. He was wrestling with the police and they shot him with a taser. And then he went to his car and he went to the, looked like he was going for the glove box, which is where people keep their weapons in America. They keep their guns in the glove box. And the police had been trying to get him to stop all that time and he hadn't stopped. So they shot him. Nothing out of order that the police did there. If they hadn't have shot him, he could have turned around, pulled a gun out of the glove box and started shooting at the police. And never mind the fact that, again, once again, it's a criminal. He has a record for sexual abuse of children. And once again, we see the black community looting, rioting, destroying car lots. Two people have now been murdered since these riots began. Do you think this would be happening if blacks had their own area and if they were segregated and white people were segregated? If they were then to be doing it, they would then be blamed for doing it, wouldn't they? They could quite rightfully say, well, this is your own fault that you've done this, because this is your own police that you have here. You're being policed by your own black police. You have your own laws that you have developed. You can't blame the white man in any way for this. And that is the only solution to these problems that we have, is to just separate us, separate the peoples. Black people do not want to be policed by the white police, and it doesn't matter how much we bend over backwards to appease them. It will never be enough. This is what we see. It will never, ever be enough. In America, they've even had a black man in the White House. Still not enough. It will never be enough. What we see is that black people wish to be amongst their own, and they wish to replace as many white people as possible with black people. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Birds of a feather flock together. The problem we have is that white people don't see this, and white people don't understand that this is what's happening. The first news story that I want to get into today, this shows this really well. The black actor from the movie Adulthood, Noel Clarke, immediately called upon the producers of his new TV show to diversify its crew when he arrived on set. And what does he mean by diversify the crew? He means that the crew have all got to be black people. All the white people in the crew have to be replaced. And he thinks that he has a right to say this now. Do actors have a right to demand that the crew that are filming them all be changed for members of their own race? That seems to be accepted now. The British actor would not name the series in question, but told the Edinburgh TV Festival that he was unimpressed that the crew was entirely white and demanded quick action. I'm on a job now, which I can't mention, and I came in on day one and I'm the lead actor. And I was like, the crew's not diverse enough. Fix it. Fix it. Clark recalled. So he's got no interest in the merits of the crew. He's got no interest in whether that was the best TV crew, the best cameraman, the best script writer, the best scene designer. He's got no interest in that. All he's interested in is that the crew should all be black and he wants to see a black crew there. And as I say, that's perfectly fine. But why are we accepting that for him, and yet we don't accept it for white people? Imagine what would happen if a white man was to go on set and say, this isn't good enough, I want to have all white people here. Why have we got black people here? He would be accused of being a white supremacist. He'd be accused of hate speech. I mean, what this shows is that the only racism that we have in white countries is racism directed against whites. We see a drive to replace whites in every industry. We heard recently about how this is going on in Hollywood and how Hollywood actors now are terrified that they're never going to be able to work again because everything has to be black. Eventually, we'll have diversity quotas for everything. And as Channel 4 are doing next year, they're having a day where they're of full diversity, where you're not going to actually see any white person on the television at all during the entire day. And that is full diversity, full replacement of everybody that's white. That is all that diversity is. And we're being told, as white people, we should be celebrating this. We should be celebrating our replacement. And madly enough, we do have white people that are celebrating their own replacement. Self-hating whites, the sort of white people that will go along on these Black Lives Matter marches and will call anybody that refuses to support Black Lives Matter a racist and a white supremacist. We've got groups of white people going outside restaurants in America, harassing people, trying to force people to put their fist up or force people to kneel down before Black Lives Matter. And these people are just sitting there eating their meal, and they're being harassed by this mob. And the mob is made up of white people, and there are blacks that are complaining about it and saying, look, you're making us look bad here with what you're doing. It's insane, the power that the media has to brainwash people, basically, and get them to act against their own best interests. It is analogous to the way that certain parasites will do this to the host animal. Certain parasites will take over an animal, and they will get the animal to behave in ways that will harm the animal itself. There are some parasites that get inside snails, and they get inside the snail's eyes, and they will even steer the snail around to get it to do the things that they want it to do. There are certain parasites that will get inside a crab, and they will practically change the crab's sex, and the crab will think that it's actually got crab eggs, and it doesn't have crab eggs. It's looking after these parasite eggs. This is a similar analogy to what the media has done to us. The media has got a lot of white people behaving as if they have a parasite. And instead of looking out for their own best interests, they're looking out for somebody else's best interests. Instead of looking out for white people, they're calling for more refugees to come in. They're more concerned about a refugee dying in Scotland at the moment than they are concerned about a refugee going on a stabbing rampage 2 months ago. They're calling for inquiries into whether the refugee's being looked after well enough in these four-star hotels, while we have white veterans that are homeless on the streets. And I'm not calling the people that are doing this parasites. I'm just saying that the way that the effect that the media has had on people is similar to the effects that certain parasites have on their hosts in the animal kingdom. So we have white people that are going against their own interests and putting up with this. This article that I'm reading from here, this isn't criticizing this. This isn't saying this is an attempt to get rid of white people and this is not a good thing for white people. This is saying this is a good thing and this needs to be done. Continuing with what Noel Clark has to say, they said, yeah, but I said, I don't want to hear anything else. Fix it. I don't care if there's trainees, because this job's trainees is the next job's runner, then the next job's assistant, then they're a supervisor. Then in 5 years' time or 3 years' time, we have more people in the business from different backgrounds, socioeconomic, not just about colour. No interest in merit, of course. All just about race, all just about advocating for his own race, which is perfectly fine. But you can't have a multicultural society with everybody advocating for their own race, apart from white people, and white people being told that they are somehow immoral for not supporting the goals of these other groups instead of supporting the goals of their own group. Clark also urged television productions to make permanent changes in terms of diversity and representation behind the camera. But before they can do that, they have to have black people that are trained in this area. They have to have black people that have gone to university and trained how to use a camera and that are good at doing that. And you start by doing that as an amateur, by doing things like making animation, making YouTube documentaries. And I don't come across very many that have actually been made by black people. All they seem to want to do is be rappers and concentrate on things like that. So it's not a question of white people are just not employing these blacks. It's a question that of blacks not being interested in doing this. The same as when they say, well, we don't have enough female scientists. We don't have enough female engineers. And it's not that people are refusing to employ the female ones. It's that females don't really want to be scientists or engineers. He says, we need to make sure that what's happening right now is not just this quarter's hashtag, and in 6 months' time, it's going to be something else, he said. I don't mind trainees, but we need to get people in at ground level. Change takes time. I mean, look at the arrogance of this man. He's just an actor, and here he is demanding that the organization change the whole production, change all the contracts, get rid of all the people that they've got in there to film him. The arrogance is breathtaking, especially when you think, well, he's probably only got this job acting because of a diversity quota, because they've been told they've got to have more black people. So instead of actually being in the job for his own merit, he's just there because of his race. Instead of being grateful for that, he's arrogant about it and thinks that he has the right to demand that the whole production crew is changed for black people. You have to give him credit for their chutzpah, you really do. Clark is currently filming the ITV series Viewpoint, which will be the first UK drama series to restart filming since the coronavirus shut down the entertainment industry earlier this year. I mean, he should be just very, very pleased that he's actually got some work after all the TV series have been shut down like this. In May, Clark said that numerous UK TV channels refused to back his Sky One series Bulletproof because it was led by two black leads, and also suggested he was deliberately left off the poster to the British comedy film Fisherman's Friends. Well, perhaps Bulletproof was charging too much money for it. Or perhaps Bulletproof wasn't much of a hit with viewers, it was just a hit with reviewers, politically correct reviewers. I can't see that Rupert Murdoch is going to turn down something that's going to be a big hit for his TV channel. See, this is the thing, they will reduce everything to being about race, when quite clearly it wouldn't have been about race. It would have been a business decision, the same as it would have been a business decision to leave him off the poster to the British comedy film Fisherman's Friends. Perhaps there were other people in the movie that were more famous than he is, that they thought were going to be more likely to get people to go along and watch it. But according to him, it has to all be about race. And yet, white people, we can't make anything about race. We're told that we don't even exist as a race. We're told that being white is just some kind of a psychosis. We don't even exist as a race, according to the mainstream media and the general narrative. People on here acting like this is just a US problem, he tweeted at the time. Racism is prevalent here too. Embedded in the fabric of society, the industry I'm in. Well, basically, society is not equal, is it? If you can call for white people to be replaced simply because you think there isn't enough black people in the production, then there's no equality, is there? There is racism, but it's racism against white people. Now, I have a bit of good news that I'd like to get into here as well. We do like to feature good news stories here at Radio Albion. And I just wish that the same thing would happen over here with hope not hate, but we actually have the Republican National Committee approving a resolution repudiating the disgraced Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC, the purported anti-hate organization that has become a vehicle for smearing conservatives and critics of radical leftism. And they basically have the same purpose as Hope Not Hate do in Britain. They basically can afford to employ people to try and chase down critics, as they say here, of radical leftism, and then they identify them, they put them on a map, a so-called hate map, so that they can then be targeted. They work with YouTube, and they tell YouTube who YouTube are supposed to be banning. And obviously this affects everybody on the right, not just people that are on the far right. It affects everybody on the right. And it's the same with Hope Not Hate. They go after people like Nigel Farage. They go after centrists like Carl Benjamin. They don't just go after the so-called far right. And yet we see the Conservative Party endorsing what they do. We see that they are disgraced for the way that they were working with the BBC when Tommy Robinson did his Panorama documentary and exposed the way that they were working with the BBC and setting people up and telling lies. And yet, rather than distancing themselves from Hope Not Hate, we've recently seen the mainstream media just reporting what Hope Not Hate tell them to report. And really, you would expect a conservative government to condemn a group like this that behaves like this. I must say that I'm quite surprised that the Republican Party have actually done this and repudiated this organization. I just hope that Boris Johnson will do the same with Hope Not Hate. The resolution commits the RNC to officially refuting the legitimacy of the Southern Poverty Law Center to identify hate groups. And the SPLC works with the FBI, I think, or maybe the ADL that works with the FBI. I'd like to see them repudiate the ADL as well. But they definitely work with YouTube and Google and Facebook. The SPLC bills itself as an expert on hate groups, maintaining a hate map that tracks them around the country. However, the SPLC has repeatedly added mainstream conservative organizations to its list, smearing their reputation and allowing violent far-left criminals to locate and target them. And they've had Catholic organizations on there that didn't want to hand children over to homosexuals. They've had pro-family organizations on there, anti-abortion organizations on there, all the same sort of people that Hope Not Hate will also target. And of course, they ignore the extremist jihadis, the extremist Islamist organizations. They're basically just a front for far-left activists, exactly the same as Hope Not Hate, in fact. The RNC resolution notes that the SPLC's smears puts conservative groups or voices at risk of attack, and Hope Not Hate put people at risk of attack as well. I've been to a conference that was attacked, windows smashed, an elderly disabled man punched in the face, he died 6 months later. There was about, I don't know, a dozen of them all masked up with motorcycle chains and bats. Luckily, we had security outside and people ran outside and saw them off. But the police never did anything about it. That's just one instance I can think of. I can think of the Generation Identity conference, and Hope Not Hate put information about that out there. That was attacked. A violent mob descended on that, and there was a fight. So the same thing goes on in Britain. These anti-fascist organizations, well, the Antifa do work with Hope Not Hate. And unfortunately, in America, we've actually seen, I'm not sure if you actually saw deaths, but we saw shootings that were involved in this. And I don't know if there's been any deaths involved with Antifa actually killing anyone in Britain. They've certainly tried to in Germany. They tried to kill the AfD MP in Germany. In 2012, far-left radical Floyd Corkins used the SPLC's hate map to locate the offices of the Family Research Council, he proceeded to the FRC's offices with a loaded pistol and opened fire on the office's security staff before being stopped by an armed guard. So thankfully, he was stopped from doing this. And you get people then wondering why conservative voices might use anonymous names when they're online. I mean, this is the reason why, because you get these violent crackpots on the left that will try to kill people, but just because they don't agree with their opinions. They don't just try to silence people on the right. They literally will try to kill people on the right for having a different opinion. And it's us on the right that get accused of being the ones somehow inciting hate or inciting violence. And just look at what's going on in America at the moment with what the extreme left are doing with these riots and these looting. And look at who it is that's inciting it. It's the mainstream media. To think that we are all equal under the law is madness in this day and age. The shooter later told authorities that he planned to kill as many people as he could at the Family Research Council, and explained that his crime was politically motivated. He had seen the Family Research Council on the SBLC's list of anti-gay organisations. And of course, Hope Not Hate put out their State of Hate PDF every year with all the organisations that they have listed as haters on there, people that range from just the centre-right to the far-right, and they put them all on this list and make them all out to be a threat. They've recently said that Patriotic Alternative was somehow a threat. How can people with a different opinion be a threat to anyone? If somebody has a different opinion and you don't agree with it, then you should counter that opinion, not put them on a list and say that they should be targeted and they should be censored and they should be silenced, and make it possible for crazies like this guy to go and target these people. If you don't agree with what somebody says, you should just counter what they say with another argument. Come out with a better argument. That's the way you deal with it. Court records submitted by the FBI confirmed that Corkins, a former far-left activist, had indeed checked the SBLC website prior to his attack. Despite the fact that the SBLC has lost defamation lawsuits and has served as an inspiration for acts of domestic terror, major corporations continue to rely upon it in order to identify hate groups and hate speech. In 2018, the Daily Caller revealed that Amazon, Google, Facebook, and Twitter all work with the discredited far-left organization. And there have been court cases against them for calling somebody an extremist Muslim when he wasn't an extremist Muslim. And as I say, with Hope Not Hate in Britain, they've been exposed as working with the BBC to fix a Panorama episode and that was mischaracterising Tommy Robinson. They've been involved in mischaracterising Radio Albion and putting, well, when we were Radio Aryan, they worked with the Daily Mail and the Daily Express and told them a pack of lies about us. Mischaracterising things that were said in podcasts just deliberately to try and cause trouble for us, which was inaccurate. Instead of countering what we say, instead of trying to counter our statistics or anything like that, they would just call us hate speech or hate groups, or will just lie about what we say. And you cannot help but come away from that thinking, well, that's because they've lost the argument, isn't it? That's because we are the ones who are on the side of truth and we are on the side of what's right. That's why we're called the far right, because we are right. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.